This is a recording of Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Killiani for Sunday, April 24th, 2016. Plan for Life Now can be heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Views expressed on this program are those of the sponsors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot assure profit or protect against loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Capital Retirement Strategies and Cambridge Investment Research are not affiliated.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. This is Plan for Life Now with your hosts, Dave Murray and Steve Killiani.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Steve Killiani. This is Plan for Life Now. And if you're used to hearing two voices on this show, so normally you hear Dave's voice bringing us in, Dave Murray is on vacation. So I'm going to be taking you through this week and next week, maybe even the week after. So Dave's taking a nice little vacation, well-earned, well-deserved, all of that. So I'm going to be taking the show here. If you haven't listened to the show before, it's your first time listening. What we talk about every single week, what we really focus our practice on, is retirement and income planning, generally for people in their 50s and 60s, people looking to make that transition from working and earning an income into retirement. Now, that's a really broad topic there, because you can focus on a lot of different things and you've got a lot of different situations, people that have pensions, people that don't have pensions. So we're going to try to cover a bunch of things today here. Now, I give Dave some credit. He always does a good job at trying to open up the show and tying it into some sort of event that's going on out there in the world. Right. So we, you know, try to tie it into what's going on. If it's a major holiday, maybe it's a major sporting event. So in preparation, I usually leave that up to Dave. I say, you know what? You go ahead and do that. I'm not going to be the one that comes up with these events. But this time, obviously, it's up to me. So I took a look at the calendar and I said, all right, what do we have going on? What kind of things could we talk about? Could I talk about, because Dave's not here, and try to tie that in some way to financial planning. And believe me, those of you who have listened know that sometimes Dave's tie-in to financial planning is tenuous at best, but we let him get away with it. So taking a look, today is April 24th. What's been going on? Well, Friday was Earth Day. I couldn't really think of a great tie-in to Earth Day. You know, let's recycle, be sure we cut our energy. Couldn't think of a real great tie-in for financial planning. Passover began on Friday. Once again, I'm not Jewish, don't know that much about theology. I couldn't find a great tie-in here. Ah, but here I found a good one that happened yesterday. My wife's birthday. My wife and I, we've got three beautiful kids. We've been married for quite a while. We were dating even longer before that. So yesterday was her birthday, and I won't say how old she turned yesterday, but we did a nice little celebration, you know, had some cake, got some takeout because she doesn't want me to cook for her, and just had a nice little celebration there. But as I was thinking about her birthday, all the different birthdays that we've celebrated over the years, in the many, many years we've been together, you know, even before we were married, so 18, 19 years now. And the thing that I was thinking about and what I wanted to tie into financial planning is sometimes getting a little bit complacent when it comes to celebrating birthdays with someone you've been with for 19 years. And I'm assuming all of you out there kind of nodding your head and know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You remember those first couple of years celebrating birthdays, celebrating Valentine's Day with a new significant other, a new spouse, And man, you made sure everything was perfect. You were really on top of all the details. You really just, you knew the ins and outs of what was going to happen. You were going to give her this gift. You were going to do this. You were going to do that. And now 18, 19 years in, you, yeah, okay, here's some flowers. Here's a gift. All right. This should be pretty good. You're a little bit complacent. And this is not a love advice show. This is not Love Line. That's not what we're going to talk about. But what I was thinking about as I was trying to tie this in together was how people tend to get complacent when it comes to their financial plans. Because if you have set a financial plan in place, and sometimes people will do this when a major life event happens. So you get married, you have kids, you're planning for the kids to go to college. The kids have graduated from college. Now you're really going to get serious about planning for retirement. Sometimes that's the only time you actually sit down and put together a financial plan. And what that leads to is you've got a bunch of investments. You've got a few different things that are out there, but you don't really know how it all ties together. And let's be honest, you've sort of gotten complacent about your financial plan. Much like, I'll kind of admit, maybe I've gotten a little complacent about my wife's birthdays. You know, they come along, I get her some flowers, she's pretty happy. That's good. But we all know that, I really did not mean this show to turn into relationship advice. But we all know that in relationships, you got to keep things interesting, spice it up now and then. And you got to stay on your toes, make sure you know what you're doing. And I would say it's probably even more important in financial planning. Because in relationships, that person, they can always forgive you if you screw up, if you make a few mistakes. What we see happen with people's financial plan and their retirement plan, let's just kind of paint this picture here. You're 50 years old. For whatever reason, at that time, something sparks you to do some financial planning. So what does this look like? You're evaluating your portfolio. What's your asset allocation? You're taking a look at some retirement income projections. You know, how much do I need to save for retirement? When I do save for retirement, how much income will I have? How long can I live in retirement? How long do I need to work? On the insurance side of things, you're looking at, do I have enough life insurance? Do I have enough long-term care insurance? So you're evaluating all these different things. And in my example here, this hypothetical person, they're 50 years old, they're looking at it, but they're still working, they're not planning on retiring anytime soon. And then they stick it in a drawer and they forget about it. They don't think about it. That was done. Not going to worry about it anymore. All of a sudden, they're 60 years old. All of a sudden, a decade has gone by and they go, oh my God, has it really been a decade since we last put together a financial plan? I can't believe it's been that long. Yeah, it's been 10 years now. They dust it off. They go in and look at it, and it hasn't kept up. You know, asset allocation models have really changed in the last 10 years. Return expectations, something I want to talk about later on in the show. I mean, if you looked at financial plans from a decade ago, they used very different return expectations than most of the models use nowadays. And they might not have even been advanced enough to do things like Monte Carlo analysis. That was pretty rare 10 years ago. On the insurance side of things, maybe you had a lot of life insurance, no long-term care insurance. Now, 10 years later, kids are out of the house, don't need as much life insurance, need a lot more long-term care insurance. Social Security. Maybe 10 years ago, you were planning on a certain benefit, and based on earnings, income, changes in filing strategy laws, all of that stuff has changed. So that was my tie-in, my point here, that you can't simply get complacent about whatever your retirement plan is. And I guess I would also say you can't kind of get complacent with this idea that your employer, wherever you work, they're just going to take care of you. And I know that used to be the mindset. You know, I've told this before, but I had an uncle who retired from IBM and everything was IBM. His pension was IBM. His health insurance was IBM. And that's worked out okay for him. But that's not the way the world looks nowadays. It's not where you just can rely on having that pension from one company and that's it. And I guess that point's probably even needs to be a stronger point for the target audience of our seminars coming up. Our seminars that we're doing this month, no, I should take that back. It's next month. We didn't do any ones in April here because Dave was traveling and whatnot. So the seminars that we're doing coming up in May, Tuesday, May the 10th, Wednesday, May the 11th, these seminars are called Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers. And we've specifically targeted these seminars and designed the seminars for government employees. And I'll often talk about how my father-in-law is a government employee under the old retirement system, that old CSRS retirement system, where he has a nice big pension at retirement. Then my wife is part of the newer FERS retirement system. She's not going to have as big of a pension. And that difference there, that difference between her father and her, that's really where we need to focus in. We can't get complacent about, hey, what am I doing with my TSP? Am I doing enough to plan for retirement? Is the pension, the TSP, and Social Security, is that enough for me to actually retire? So we really focus in specifically on, it's essentially the same seminar that we normally do, but we take a little more time to focus in on the TSP and specific strategies there. So once again, the seminar is called Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers, and we're holding it over two nights. First night, Tuesday, May the 10th, that's at Normandy Farms in Potomac. Second night, Wednesday, May the 11th, Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. Both of the seminars start at 6:30 p.m. They are free of charge, but you do have to register. The phone number to register, 888-582-4582, or the website, very easy, it's just the same as the name of the show, planforlifenow.com. Once again, seminars, May 10th in Potomac, Maryland, May 11th, it's Wednesday, May 11th, Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. The website, planforlifenow.com, the phone number is 888-582-4582.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Plan for Life Now. And we were talking about in the previous segment, my intro to the show, was talking about being complacent. And I was using the analogy of my wife's birthday, getting a little complacent as far as what to give her, what to get her, how to celebrate and all that. And using the analogy of people getting complacent with their financial plan. And I was basically talking about somebody who gets complacent with, they put a plan together, they don't really think about it, and now they don't really revisit it. But something came to me as I was thinking about it, people getting complacent with their advisors as well. So sometimes people sit down with an advisor, seems like a good guy, seems like a nice woman, and they don't really kind of dig into what, why are you investing me a certain way? Is this just based on gut instincts, or is this based on some hard data and some actual research? What are the fees that you're charging me? I mean, we've had this discussion with many people where they come in, they sit down, they say, yeah, I'm paying this guy, $500 a year. I think it's a pretty good deal. And we take a look. I mean, this was a real case we dealt with not too long ago. We take a look and we say, well, you're paying a $500 a year annual planning fee, but then you're also paying about 2% in management fees. And this was 2% on about $600,000. So you're talking about $12,000 plus the $500 that they knew they were paying. So this person was pretty shocked when they looked at that. I mean, that'll kind of floor you right there. If you think that you're paying $500 and you're paying $12,500, you're not going to be so complacent anymore there. So that's just an aside there where I don't think that you can just sit there and think, my plan is good. I put this together years ago. It'll always stay the same. And I think a really good example of this is talking about something that we call, in this industry, we call, or at least we used to, the 4% rule. And if you've never heard of the 4% rule, here's the origin and here's what it means. This was some guy back in the late 80s, early 90s, who looked at returns in a balanced portfolio, and he said if you had a lump sum portfolio, invested it in a balanced portfolio, and you took 4% withdrawals and adjusted for inflation, you probably wouldn't run out of money in retirement. Right? It's a lot more technical than that, but that's the bottom line. You take 4%, you're probably not going to run out of money in retirement. And this 4% rule, we've raised this issue many times, it just doesn't really work anymore. And when you say, well, why doesn't it work? What happened? Why did it even become a rule if it's something that could quickly go to an area where it doesn't work anymore? Well, let's think about, in a balanced portfolio, what is that made up of? Well, roughly speaking, it's going to be made up of stocks and bonds. So let's tackle each one of those individually. In bonds, long-term returns for bonds, government bonds, has been around 5.5%. Now, all of you out there, I'm sure you don't sit there and follow the 10-year Treasury yield every single day. If you do, you need to get some better hobbies. But the 10-year Treasury has been floating somewhere in that range of 1.7, 1.8% lately, right? Which basically means that a 10-year government bond will pay you 1.7% interest for 10 years. So it's pretty hard, if not impossible, for long-term returns in bonds to be 5.5%, at least over the next decade or two, because you need interest rates to go back up to a more normalized level to achieve that. So right there, out of your balanced portfolio, your bond portion of your return, just it's not going to get there. And then on the stock side, you guys have all looked at long-term returns in stocks, and most people will say, yep, long-term stock returns probably in the 9 to 10% range, depending on what type of stocks you're looking at. Now, this is not quite as easy to pin down, because with interest rates and bonds, you can just simply do the math and say it's not going to happen. With stocks, you've got to look at long-term earnings trends, demographic changes, growth rates, GDP, all of those things. But most people will agree that you're not going to get returns, stock returns, up close to that 9, 10% range. Now, of course, none of this stuff is guaranteed, but the idea of assuming that when you use that 4% rule, that's probably not a safe way to go. So, I bring all this stuff up, not that you've got to make yourself an expert on it, but because you've got to take a look and you've got to be able to adapt to changing environments, to changing interest rates, to changing growth rates, to different ways of putting together withdrawal strategies. And I think a withdrawal strategy is one of the most important pieces to a retirement plan. How are you going to take out the money? Where are you going to take it from? How are you going to structure that? And that's a lot of what we tackle in our seminar. The seminar is called Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers. And we're doing these in May. Tuesday, May the 10th is at Normandy Farms in Potomac. Wednesday, May the 11th at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. Both seminars start at 6:30. They're free of charge, but you do have to register. And to do that, you can do it two ways. The phone number is 888-582-4582. Or you can go to the website, which is just planforlifenow.com. Once again, 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. We'll be right back.
Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Plan for Life Now. I'm your host, Steve Kiliani. If you've been listening the whole show, I mentioned Dave Murray, my co-host, is on vacation for a week or two. So I will be taking the reins here for a few weeks. Now, what we were talking about right before the break, we were talking about our seminars that are coming up, and essentially what our seminars really focus on and really try to dig into more than we can on the radio show is how do we establish a withdrawal strategy in retirement? You know, it's the fancy way of saying, how do you figure out how to take money out of these accounts that you've been saving into? And I don't just mean logistically. I mean, anybody can do that. You can figure out how to do the paperwork. I mean, how do you structure the accounts? What type of investments? How do you have an account that's invested in a portfolio that can withstand a market downturn and a market recovery, because you're going to have a lot of those in retirement, and still take an income? And that's really what we try to dig into in the seminars. The seminars that we're doing this month or next month in May, the seminars that we're doing next month in May are really focused around retirement strategies for TSP rollovers. Now, I just realized that as I've been saying TSP rollovers all this time, some of you out there might not know what a TSP is. Now, frankly, if you don't know what it is, seminar's not really for you. But just for your education purposes, the TSP is the government's version of the 401k plan. So they call it the Thrift Savings Plan. And for government employees, I always say newer government employees, these are people that joined the government post-1983, newer government employees, their retirement consists of a three-legged stool. And that three-legged stool is your FERS pension, Social Security, and your TSP. Now, this is pretty similar for people in the private sector, except you might not actually have a pension. So the seminars we're doing this month, real quick, Tuesday, May the 10th is at Normandy Farm in Potomac, and Wednesday, May the 11th at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. To register, you can go to the website planforlifenow.com or the phone number 888-582-4582. All right, so what I wanted to dive into here in the second half of the show is how do we figure out, obviously we spend a lot of time, a lot of energy talking about retirement income strategies, withdrawal strategies, you know, whatever name you want to use for that. How do you measure or figure out, determine what is the best retirement income strategy? So what's the yardstick that you use to figure out which one is the best? Now, I'm going to give you a quick preview of the end of this segment here. I don't think I'm going to have a one answer fits everybody. You know, we're not going to be able to say, okay, this strategy makes the most sense for everybody, because everyone out there is going to have a slightly different situation. So even two people that work in the government, and they both have the same FERS pension, and they've both saved into the TSP, they're going to have a little bit different situation. And that's one of the key issues, or one of the key points that Dave and I try to make about our firm, not to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, is that we feel like financial planning advice, retirement planning advice, it needs to be highly customized to your situation. Because anything that's cookie cutter, anything that's one size fits all, is not going to be customized. It's not going to be the right fit for everybody. You know, it might help that particular advisor just serve the most number of people, but it's not going to always be the best in each situation. So the question here that we're asking, how do you measure which retirement income strategy is the best? Right? So here's one way that we could measure it. We could look at what is the projected wealth. So what's your projected account balance at the end of the strategy? Right? So that kind of makes sense, right? If I retire, I've got $1 million. I die, I've got $5 million. That seems like a pretty winning strategy there. And that could certainly be the right answer for some people. But here's the problem with this. How could you achieve really great wealth? Well, you could certainly take some risks to get there. And if those risks paid off, yes, the ending projected wealth might be the highest. But what happens if those risks didn't pay off? What happens if they crashed and burned? Well, you could have other versions of the scenario that don't look nearly as good. So, you know, I said I wasn't going to say which one was best. It could be best for somebody. But a lot of people, that's not their goal. You know, when we talk to them, it's not their goal to say, hey, I've got $1 million. I want to turn it into 10 million. I want to, you know, be the next Bill Gates, whatever. But maybe for some people, highest projected wealth would be a reasonable goal there. How about another goal that we could target? The retirement plan that has the most cumulative spending, right? So this is an interesting take. Instead of taking a look at how much money is the most at the end, what if we took a look at which plan gave us the highest amount of spending over our retirement timeline? That seems like a, you know, kind of what we hear from people more often is, hey, I saved this money, I earned this money. Sure, I'm going to pass money on to my kids or my grandkids or charities, whatever I want to, but that's not my primary goal. You know, my primary goal is I want to make sure that I spend this money, I enjoy it while I'm alive. I think that's, for a lot of people, that's probably heading more in the right direction. All right, how's another way that we can measure this? So remember, what we're talking about here is how do we measure what the best retirement income strategy is? You know, what's the metric that you're going to use? And the first one we looked at is just the biggest pot of money at the end. The second one we looked at is the most spending over your retirement timeline. The next one that we looked at is measuring your probability of success. And I would say there's some blend in here, but I would say this for a lot of people is pretty important. So when we talk about probability of success with any of these projections, with any of these methods we're talking about, I have no idea where stock market is going, where the bond market is going, but we can take a look at historical data. We can make assumptions based on, you know, certain sets of variables there. And based on those, we can plug these in and say, based on the past, you have the highest probability of success. And remember what success is here. Success is not running out of money in retirement. That's what we consider failure is, I ran out of money, I'm 82, I'm still alive and well, and I need to live to 95. That's failure. So success is, you still have money throughout retirement. But to do that, to have a higher probability of success, obviously there's a trade-off. And I know the analytical ones out there, you guys are thinking about this, thinking, I see this. I see how I could go with option number one, which is maximizing that pot of money, but that could also be a spectacular failure. Or I could go with option three, where I maximize the probability of success, but the end number might not be nearly as great as the first option. So, you know, what we try to do whenever we're doing retirement planning, and you know, I kind of lay out these different options here, and there's a variety of combinations within them. It all comes back to your specific situation, because we meet with some people where they are the old government retirement system, and they have that pension that covers all of their retirement income needs. You know, I'd always give an example of a CSRS pension. It's at $10,000 a month, and the person's spending needs are at $7,000 a month. Well, you know what? If that person wanted to, they could take their investments and they could sort of gamble with them. You know, I'm not saying I encourage it, but you could certainly do that, because you could always fall back on the idea that I have this pension, it covers all my expenses. Take a different example, someone who has that same expenses of $7,000 a month, and now they don't have a pension of $10,000. They've got Social Security of $2,000 and a pension maybe of another $2,000. So now they only have $4,000 coming in, expenses at $7,000. This person, you know, all other things being equal, they're not going to be in the gambling mood. Right? They're not going to be in the mood to say, yeah, if I have enough money or not, no big deal. This person's going to feel like, I've got to take care of my income first and foremost. I got to make sure that I can pay those $7,000 in bills, or, you know, I'm really not going to have much fun. So for that person, minimizing the probability of failure, that's probably their highest priority. Versus the other person, they might say, you know what? I can go for broke here. And if I win, it'll come up and I'll have a ton of money. And if I lose, oh, well, that's a little less money for the kids there. So, all right, that was a pretty detailed dive into, you know, different ways that we look at retirement income planning. But that's really what an advisor needs to do for you. They need to be looking at this. Going back to what I talked about in the opening segments, they need to be adapting and changing as well. There has been research, there have been studies that have come out in the past couple of years that really sort of turn this retirement income question, turn it around from where we've originally looked at. You know, ideas like holding a lot of your portfolio in bonds or more fixed instruments and then increasing your allocation to stocks over time. That's something I don't think a lot of advisors really have kind of paid enough attention to or caught on to. And not that I always say this, not that I'm always expecting everybody to get as excited about these things as we do, but that's why I think it's our job. The seminars that we're doing next month, so in May, don't have any in April here, but in May, we call these seminars Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers. A TSP, that is the government, the thrift savings plan, the equivalent of the 401k plan. And what we talk about in these seminars is how do we structure an overall portfolio to take care of these different needs, to really match different goals people might have, anywhere from maximizing wealth to producing that income and filling that gap in there. So we hold these seminars, one in Maryland, one in Virginia. In Maryland, Tuesday, May the 10th, Normandy Farm in Potomac. Wednesday is at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. That's Wednesday, May the 11th. We start both seminars at 6:30 p.m. We talk for a little over an hour, and then we break it down and do question and answer. And we feed you while – we don't feed you. The restaurant feeds you while we're talking, so you're not going to sit there and wait forever. And we think it's a really good way to get your question answered, to really dig into this further. So to register, easiest way is on our website, which is planforlifenow.com. You can also call the phone line. Phone line's available 24 hours a day. It's 888-582-4582. So one more time, it's planforlifenow.com or the phone line, 888-582-4582. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Welcome back to Plan for Life Now, 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Plan for Life Now, and I wanted to do a little bit of a preview. For some reason, I was almost going to say Redskins preview. That is way too early to do that. Although I did hear some radio shows the other day going through the schedule, predicting wins and losses. And I thought about doing it, but, you know, with Dave not here, I didn't want to do that. We'll save that for, what do you think, in July we can do that, you know, sometime a little closer. Now, what I wanted to do a preview of is a preview of the seminar. Because, you know, to give people a feeling for really what do we do, what do we break down in there, what do we think are the critical elements that you need to learn and understand. So I walked through an example earlier in the show where I talked about someone who had retirement income needs of about $7,000 a month. And once again, this is highly personal to you. You know, we've got some clients who tell us, hey, I live well off $3,000 a month. It's all I need. And some clients say, God, I need $20,000 a month, or I just, you know, I can't get by. Most people in the DC area, they're going to be somewhere in that $7,000 to $10,000 a month range. Obviously, if you move out of the area, it could be a lot less. So you've got this income number that you're trying to get to each month. And you've got certain income sources that you know will come in. Doesn't really matter what the stock market's doing, what the bond market, what oil prices are doing. That doesn't matter. You know that you're going to get your Social Security and you're going to get whatever pensions that you have. Now, the seminar that we do this month is really focused on federal employees and federal pensions. But I know we've got a lot of people out there listening who say, because we run into this all the time, oh, hey, I worked for XYZ defense contractor. You know, fill in the blanks, whether it's Northrop, Lockheed, Boeing, whoever, any of these. And they used to have a pension plan. So they used to have it, and I'm still eligible for that. So I'll get a couple $1,000s a month from that, but it doesn't grow anymore, and it's kind of frozen in time. So the situation for a lot of people is, I've got Social Security, that'll be $2,000 a month. I've got this pension, that'll be another $2,000 a month. My expenses are $7,000. How do I fill in that gap? So that gap is $3,000 a month. And that's really what we want to walk through in the seminar, is how do we accomplish that? How do we make sure that we have enough money set aside for liquidity, for emergency purposes, for expenses that will come up? Even if they're not emergencies, in retirement, you still have to buy cars. You still have to repair your house. You still need to give money to your kids, whatever it is. Things come up that are outside of those ordinary expenses. And you've got to have money that's not subject to the stock market. It's not fluctuating all around. It's not locked up for income that you can use to pay for those expenses. And then longer term, you've got to have money available to grow. Because we talk about this all the time, about how people are living longer and longer in retirement. You know, if you're retiring at age 65, husband and wife, there's a very good chance that one of you will make it into your 90s. I don't have the statistic here, but I think it's somewhere around 70% that one of you will make it there. Chance of both of you, maybe around 30 or 40%. So you've got a plan on that portfolio growing for a long time. And that means even in retirement, having stock-based investments. Yes, they're risky. Yes, they will fluctuate. And that's why you need to structure it correctly. So that's really what we try to piece together. How do we take care of the income, the liquidity, and the growth all within your portfolio? Because we've got those different competing objectives there. And the seminars that we're doing in May really focused on retirement strategies for TSP rollovers. So this is targeted for government employees. You're either at the government, you've left the government. If you're at the government, you want to be over the age of 59 and a half to do this. So the seminars, Tuesday, May the 10th at Normandy Farms in Potomac. Wednesday, May the 11th, Clyde's and Tyson's Corner. To register, you're going to go to planforlifenow.com or the phone line, which is 888-582-4582. So one more time, the website, planforlifenow.com or the phone line, 888-582-4582. I'll see you guys next week here on the radio.